In a world where leftist critics were sharpening their pitchforks, ready to cancel anything that dared to challenge their narrative, along came Black Myth Wukong. This game not only dodged the cancel culture bullet, but also laughed in its face, selling a jaw-dropping 10 million copies in just 3 days. That's right, 10 million copies in just 3 days. Talk about a plot twist. While the naysayers were busy writing their scathing reviews and calling for boycotts, gamers around the globe were busy clicking purchase faster than you can say Journey to the West. With its stunning graphics and captivating gameplay, Black Myth Wukong has shattered sales records and left its critics eating dust. It's almost poetic, like watching a hero rise from the ashes while the villains trip over their own shoelaces. So here's to the leftist critics who thought they could cancel a game that celebrates rich cultural heritage and epic storytelling. Spoiler alert, the leftist mob failed spectacularly, and the gaming community has spoken loud and clear. The only thing getting canceled here is the idea that you can silence creativity with foie mob outrage. Cheers to Black Myth Wukong, the game that turned critics into mere footnotes in its epic saga of success. Hello, everybody. This is William Del Pilar, and this is the Red, White, and Rude, where pop culture and politics intersect, and I bring you all the lowdown from a conservative perspective. To everybody, before we go on, hit like and hit share. Without your support, I will not be able to keep these podcasts going. And trust me, you need them and you want to hear them. You can check out this podcast and others such as My Points on the Board, where sports and politics intersect, as well as my conservative talk, Fired Up. We also have libertarian podcasts, and we have pure play sports podcasts only. You can find these at grumblingsmedia.com, as well as our social media outlets such as YouTube, Rumble, Spotify, Pandora, Pandora, Apple. Yeah, there you go. All under the profile handle, Grumblings Media. Well, let's get right to it, people. I mean, it has been a hell of a week for Black Myth Wukong. Like I said, 10 million copies in 3 days. My goodness. You know, I titled this podcast Black Myth Wukong Sells 10 Million Copies, Monkey King Swings Past Colonial Critics Banana Republic. So why do I say that? Oh, it's easy. You know, we talk about, or the left always talks about colonialism. We went and we invaded these countries. We did this, we did that. And yet, here's what leftists want to do. They want to impose their leftist belief on Asian cultures, China specifically. Not that I'm a big fan of China. They're communists. They will kill you. And they will tell you how to live, who to pray to, the government. And the NBA loves their concentration camps because they get a lot of gear out of it dirt cheap. China's not a good place. But at the end of the day, you judge the people and judge the government differently. I actually have traveled around the world. I met some great people from China, and they won't bag on their country. They know better. They feel like they're being watched no matter where in the world they are. But they're regular people, just like you and I. You know, I've also met some as a small child when they were coming over. And they still are to our universities and studying there. And this is one of their first big bona fide AAA hits from a small developer company. So Black Myth Wukong is an action adventure game. It's inspired by the classic Chinese novel Journey to the West. I saw the Stephen Chow version of it, Journey to the West. It came out, I want to say 2019. It was a comedy. And obviously, it digressed from the book in many ways. But in essence, the story follows the legendary Monkey King Sun Wukong, a rebellious and powerful figure known for his incredible strength, agility, and magical abilities. players embark on an epic journey through a beautifully rendered and world filled with mythical creatures, gods, and demons. Your typical fantasy game. And as you explore themes of self-discovery, redemption, and the struggle against oppression, which is kind of ironic considering this game came from China and the Chinese government itself is lauding it. Kind of, it's just the irony is there. The game combines traditional Chinese mythology and modern storytelling with gameplay mechanics, allowing players to experience the rich lore and vibrant culture of ancient China while battling formidable forces, and overcoming challenging obstacles. So let's check out a little bit of the trailer there. Black Myth Wukong. As I said, 10 million copies. I said 4 days, but it turns out it was 3 days. Maybe it is four. Doesn't matter. 3 or 4 days. Those are monster numbers. That's not just impressive on its own, but it's impressive because it's a new IP from a relatively unknown Chinese studio. And for context, Elden Ring, which was in the highly anticipated game from renowned developer From Software, it sold 12 million copies in its first 17 days. Hogwarts Legacy, the Harry Potter franchise, sold 12 million in 2 weeks. Now, that game is kind of like Black Myth Wukong. The leftists tried to cancel it. Why? Because J.K. Rowling believes in women's rights, believes in protecting women from men claiming to be women, beating them up, entering their safe spaces, i.e. locker rooms, you know, rape centers, battered shelters. I'm a woman there, so let me enter the rape shelter, you know. So they try to cancel Hogwarts Legacy. So that 12 million copies in 2 weeks is impressive too. So Black Myth Wukong's achievement in surpassing these early sales is a testament to the widespread appeal and effective marketing. It's done well on Steam. The game reached a peak of over 2.4 million concurrent players on Steam. Man, that's almost as good as my last Fired Up episode of two concurrent viewers. I'm kidding. It was four. I cracked myself up. 2.4 million. So here was the kicker. You know, just like any other country, the mass where you get support from your home country, a lot of Chinese players are playing this game. So they have their time for zones also. So this 2.4 million kind of dropped. Well, all of a sudden, the leftists were saying, see, look, they're not playing. Well, it was a time the drop came when most of China was asleep. You know, but that's the left for you. So that 2.4 million concurrent players places it second only to PUBG Battlegrounds in Steam's all-time peak player count. I got to be honest. I don't play many games outside of State of Decay 2, Doom, Fallout. You know, I play some of the major games. You're like, I got a life. I'm an adult. I don't have time to come home every day and jump on the game and start playing. So it is a game that's dominated by China's 88% of the Steam sales coming from China highlights the cultural resonance that it's doing, but it's also doing well globally. And, you know, again, the leftists want to make fun. See, it's only China. Well, you know what? John Cena made a cuck of himself by saying something about China, then coming back and apologizing, you know, on his knees, slurp, slurp. John, wipe the semen off your lip. That's how bad it was. Even Bill Maher and others were like, dude, stop. You know why? Because Hollywood's trying to make inroads into China. That's why they had a so-called action star. So-called action star on his knees slurping away and apologizing to China. So people will go see his movie. I saw his movie with Jackie Chan on Netflix, and it was terrible. But he does have a couple of Amazon movies that are hilarious. He's got a new one that's out. I don't know what it's called. So I give him his due when he's funny and when he does well. But overall, I don't see the star power, you know. So back to Black Wukong. These 10 million in sales, 88% of Steam sales coming from China, underscores what I've just been talking about, Hollywood trying to break into the Chinese market. The massive potential of the Chinese gaming market is there, and that's been underrepresented in global gaming discussions. I mean, look, they don't like woke neither over there. They're not going to play this woke trash, this woke garbage, so that you give them and they're into it. So Western gaming can learn from it. I can tell you Assassin's Creed Shadows is not going to do well in China. They don't play the woke game, they don't play the DEI game, and we're going to get into that in a few. In a few minutes. First of all, the sellout of PS5 consoles happened, and they happened in China because of the game's release, and it indicates a potential shift in the Chinese gaming landscape of accepting consoles where traditional dominated PC and mobile gaming has happened. Now, they are not on the Xbox yet. There's some controversy to that. Some are saying it's an exclusive. The company itself says that it's just they got to port the game, you know, build it so it can play on the Xbox. I don't know who to believe, because the problem with the gaming industry is, think Kotaku. It's DEI. It's racist. It's bigoted. It's you're going to bow to the heel of my foot and do it my way, or I'm going to trash your game. So we don't know what to believe. And the gaming industry is trying to destroy this game. And so we don't know if they're lying, because they won't tell us who the sources are that told them that they have an exclusive with Sony when they said there is no exclusive. So it doesn't really matter. The point is the left is trying to take every opportunity it can to take a jab at them. And it's wrong, but that's left for you. Let's get into some of the controversy and criticism. Obviously, the criticism is coming from Western media outlets. IGN published an article accusing Game Science, which is the developer, Game Science, of sexism and misogyny based on mistranslations and misinterpretations of Chinese social media posts. Rebecca Valentine, an IGN reporter, wrote an article about Black Myth. You know what? Y'all don't even know how this game looks yet. Let me make sure. Let me share my screen here. Share screen. Where's that? Where's that? Where you at, baby? Where you at? Here we go. Uh-oh. We'll get to it here in a second. I've got to move some things around to make it work here for you. But so this woman, this woman, Rebecca Valentine, an IGN reporter, wrote an article about Black Myth Wukong that was criticized for misrepresenting the game's developers and Chinese culture, again, due to misinterpretations of Chinese social media posts. In essence, the translators got it wrong, is what happened. And, here we go. The translators got it completely wrong. Hold on one second here, please. There we go. Oh, it was just driving me nuts. So I had to put us on pause there. And I wanted you guys to sit there and see the 10 million copies. That's the lead character there, who you play as. And again, incredible. Statistic. So let's get back to Rebecca Valentine. You know what happened is they mistranslated and misinterpreted what Game Science was saying. So instead of coming out and saying, okay, IGN screwed up, she instead came out and blocked her account. Again, another shot there of the protagonist. So IGN, instead of manning up, saying, hey, we misinterpreted, sorry, honest mistake, she blocked her account. Now, this talks about Western cultural incompetence in gaming journalism and their approach to covering non-Western games, meaning We lied. We screwed up, even though y'all threw it back in our face and embarrassed us with the actual truth of how this was misinterpreted and mistranslated. We don't care. We're going to block our account and we're not going to issue an apology and we're going to keep that article up. It was a Chinese YouTuber, Feifei, who provided a detailed breakdown of IGN's mistranslations and cultural misunderstandings. How did this happen? Look, their translator was not a native Chinese speaker, leading to significant errors in interpretation. So what does that mean? I'm Latino. Yo hablo español, español, escribo español. I read, write, and speak Spanish. So I have seen this. The term woman, you say mujer in Panamanian. Panama, it's a lady of the evening. You say mujer in Mexico, it's just a woman. And we won't even get into slang. You know, how slang. So having a native speaker is incredibly important to get these translations right. And IGN had a Korean translator. Then you have regions. China's big. Same thing in every other Latin country, too. You have regions that, here in the States. You know, you go from the Midwest to the South to the North. You know. This wasn't the only backlash. There was also backlash against Western cultural imperialism. What do I mean by that? Like I said earlier, leftists are always on about the United States and the colonialism, how we took over countries, how we imposed our will. Well, that's what happens. It's a dawn of time, people, that has happened. So what drives me nuts about libertarians. I'm like, oh, really? So how would you change that? How would you change human nature, Mr. Libertarian? You can't even convince your own family about libertarianism. And yet here you are telling us this is what we must do to change the world. Libertarian. You know, it's ignorance on the bordering on stupidity, because you can't even convince your own family how to live the libertarian lifestyle. Not to mention, if you're a libertarian, you'd be living off the grid, a true libertarian would. But they don't. They take from the man. They live, you know, following the laws of the land, yet they spew their garbage about them. Yeah, I just watched a libertarian video, so I'm a little irked right now. But, you know, and they're always talking about cultural imperialism. You know, they would send your kid to go die while they live a nice, luxurious life themselves here. See Dave Smith. So, let me get off my high horse. So, critics have accused the Western media outlets of imposing their cultural standards on Chinese developers. Look, this is a different race. This is a different land, different people, different language, different culture. So what gives the leftists the right to impose their will, their belief? They're hypocrites. They're freaking hypocrites. You would think they would respect somebody's heritage, their own culture, but they don't. My way or the highway. If you don't do it my way, I'm going to try to crush you. 10 million copies 3 days later. How did that go? So debates did arise over the appropriateness of applying Western diversity standards to Chinese game development. Well, and this all started because IGN lied, and then PC Gamer went and pushed that lie as well. And they're still trying to push these lies. So, these diversity issues, they weren't obviously strong enough to derail the game. And most reviews actually did focus on gameplay graphics and overall quality of the game. However, they focused on that after 10 million sales in 3 days. Or four. Take your pick. Why? They were defeated. They were like, okay, we can't keep the lie up. The lie is not working for us. You know? The lie is not working. I can't play the victim mentality here on for poor old women. Yeah. So they kind of quickly changed their tunes and were like, oh, no, we always liked the game. Sure you did. Sure you did. Again, Black Myth Wukong, despite the controversy, achieved significant success, becoming the second most played game on Steam based on concurrent players. And again, what's his company's name? Oh gosh, I forgot. Game Science. They're a small developer company. They're a small developer company. You know, I mean, small. So the game's success is challenging the narrative pushed by these Western media outlets. And other countries are going to go, oh, we don't care. So what is the responsibility of gaming journalism and cross-cultural reporting? Just don't be biased. Just maybe just report on the game, the enjoyment, the gameplay mechanics, the storyline, you know, stuff that gamers actually care about. As Red Foreman has always said, dumbasses. Then, you know, there were other controversies. Hero Games, co-publisher of Black Myth Wukong, they issued some guidelines to content creators who wanted early access. They had what people call unusual restrictions on discussing politics, feminist propaganda, COVID-19, and China's gaming industry. In essence, they said, talk about the game. Don't talk about politics. Don't talk about your values. Don't talk about how you want to see a 90-pound woman portrayed as stronger than a 300-pound monkey man or protagonist. You know, it's like, just talk. And we don't need to hear about COVID-19. That's passé. That's done. It didn't work. You know, just talk about the game. People took offense to that. They just wanted you to talk about the game. But, oh, it became a controversy. You can't tell us what to say. And I agree, they can't. But what they were telling you is, how about talking about the game and not about every political, social debate that you want to turn into a fight that has nothing to do about the game. Now, some people said, well, this raises concerns about censorship, William, and the studio's stance on social issues. That's important. Social issues is what's important. No, what's important for me is the game, the mechanics, how it plays, the story. That's going to determine if I want to dish out $60 for a game. I'll be honest, full transparency, I don't dish out anything for a game. I'm still playing free games off of Epic. I've put in thousands of hours into State of Decay 2 since it came out in 2018. It's pretty much the only game I play, and I've got like 300, 400 games I've yet to play. I figure when I become an old man and retire, I'll be gaming every day. While I'm on vacation, gaming from the beach, from the mountains, from the cabin. So, some of the reactions, one was from a French creator, Benoit Ranor. You know, the French, who we had to bail out twice in two world wars, and who are the epitome of the JJ. He publicly shared the guidelines, refusing to cover. I refuse to cover the game. You mean like your media refuses to cover all the murders by illegal immigrants in your country? You mean like that? Again, critics expressed concerns over restrictions on discussing feminist propaganda and other topics. Those feminists, man, what you talking about, William? That 90-pound woman can take on that 300-pound man 99 out of 100 times. I've seen it in TV in Hollywood. So it's got to be true. We got to have that in the game. It's mind-numbing. You know, I was in the military. I used to actually worry, or not worry, but it always crossed my mind when you hear about it, a guy beating the hell out of the wife who was trying to pick a fight with him. You know how many women at 90 pounds I saw picking a fight with their 200-pound husband? Because when you're young in your 20s and you don't really marry for love, but more for lust, shit happens. The divorce rate is sky high. And I'd see it. I'm like, I just shake my head. Because the sailor would always get in trouble. You know, you can't beat on a woman. That's a big no-no. But I'm like looking at the woman and like, why? Why are you trying to physically get into a physical confrontation with him? I mean, he's going to beat and did beat the hell out of you. Why? Why? You know, maybe use your brain too. William, how dare you blame the woman? I'm not blaming the woman. I'm just asking. Why not walk away, get a lawyer, divorce him? It's that simple. Instead, you got to sit there and get in his face and then bam! Yeah, get knocked out. You know how many times I've had to jump in between a wife and a husband? Dude, what are you doing, man? She's a woman. Yeah. In full transparency, at least a third, or maybe 40% of the time, the guy's drunk and I'm getting in between them. That's the other thing, ladies. Don't get in a drunk guy's face. They're stupid as it is. You throw some alcohol, but A lot of times they were drunk too. It's funny how they go from lovey-dovey, we're all at their house or at somebody's house having a good time, to next thing they're in each other's face over the dumbest things. You know, we once went out. We just went out drinking. It was just the fellas. No women were involved. We were just out drinking at the enlisted club after work. I drove him home. She started accusing him of being with another woman. We were at the bar having drinks. You know what he said? What, you want to smell my penis? He didn't use the term penis. I did, out of politeness. And I'm like, oh, dear God. It's like I'm frozen because I'm like trying to get out of the house because it's not something I want to be in the middle of, nor something I want to see, because I'm embarrassed for both of them. So he goes, you want some of my penis? You don't trust me? You know, she said in front of all those, yeah, yeah, drop your shorts, grab his pants. I was like, dude, what the hell? Obviously, that marriage did not last. But again, the left here wants to talk about all this feminist propaganda. You know, women are not the physical equal of men. So stop wanting to put that in games. It's just to me that I love a strong female protagonist. But it doesn't have to be in every game. It's like, give me a zombie game where you have different characters. Yeah, you have a strong woman. But this is about you're playing as a monkey, a legend, part of the Chinese lore. Got to be a woman. Got to be a female monkey there, William. Female monkey.
Oh, man.
Again, this game also deals about overcoming oppression, which I found ironic considering it's a Chinese government, you know. But they praise the game's success as a source of national pride. And I don't blame them. The problem with Chinese games is they've always been there for the quick bucket with mobile devices. I don't play much mobile games, so I had to read up on that. And this was one of the first serious AAA style titles they came out with. And this game is being seen by the Chinese as a way to challenge the biases in that they can do more and should be respected in the gaming industry. My take, it's you gain respect by putting out quality games like this. So yeah. Some Chinese users did utilize Steam's US discussion boards to express political criticisms, you know, criticism towards Winnie the Pooh. I mean, President Xi Jinping's third term, cause overthrow the Communist Party of China. Yeah, this is what's great. This is what's great. These people, they're always on our side, always in our countries, talking all this trash. Yeah, go, why don't you sit in there and go help fund some of these people in China who are trying to do this over there, you know, or why don't you go over there? But they won't. So they're harsh, and then they look down on people who won't side with them. I'm like, yeah, it's easy behind your computer. So these criticisms do nothing. It's about a Chinese developer wanting to sell their game and wanting to have a big hit, not for you guys to start railing on the Chinese government. But I get it. It's your right. It's your right, you know. Many critical posts were removed. Surprising observers. Well, Steam doesn't want to get in the middle of it either. You know, the game itself has no direct political content. Players used it internationally as a platform for their dissent. I mean, hell, these developers live in China. You think they're going to sit there and bag on their government? No, sir. So there are content guidelines that they have to abide by. Their government, they want to put out great games. They're not going to use a game to spew anti-government. They don't want to be taken to the woodshed and shot with one bullet and then have their families charged for that one bullet. Yes, that is true. I don't know if it's still true, but it used to be true. When they would execute you, they would charge the family for the bullet used. That's right. Morons. Maybe learn a little bit of history. Learn a little bit about China. Before you start spewing whatever nonsense you want to spew, you know. No, you're not. You're not spewing nonsense, but you all think it's black and white with the hate you have towards their government. You know, I'm not a big fan of their government neither. I actually have Chinese in my bloodline. You know, my Panamanian side, my mother's side. It's a very dark, sordid history. I'm going to write a book on it one day into a novel. I already got it laid out, outlined and all, but I digress. We'll get to that another day. So they did avoid sensitive topics, politics, religion, and certain historical events. You know, there was probably some slight alterations of character designs and storylines, and it did have the inclusion of patriotic elements. You know, so the developer had to, have a balance there of following the domestic regulations with the global audience expectations, and they pulled it off. So, what were the developers' response to all this negativity from the leftist Western, the French, Mr. Claude, I am Mr. Vajayjay, I won't talk about the game. Frenchmen, yeah, I'm not a big fan of the French or the Australians right now. The Australians had concentration camps for those who did not take the jab. Now, the ones who are taking the jab are dropping like flies. Oh, my heart. I don't even get a chance to say my heart. They just dropped dead. Died suddenly, they call it. You know, and they took guns. And those police, boy, they're Nazi ass down in Australia. They like to beat you. You know, I mean, they remind me of the 50s and 60s cops in the South. The Democrat cops. That's right. It was a Democrat movement that wanted to keep slavery going. Anyway, I digress. The developer's response, Yankees detailed insights. Yankee is a co-founder of Game Science. He did give a lot of commentary on the game's development process. The challenges, you know, of navigating the global expectations while maintaining their distinct cultural identity. I don't really see that as a challenge. You're proud of who you are, of your history, and you put that in, you create a AAA game. Not hard, but I think maybe in not knowing exactly what to give the Western audience in terms of expectations, we're all the same. Give us a great game of battle, of fighting, of storyline, of feelings, you know? In essence, focus on game quality. And that's what they did focus on. And it resonated with gamers. 10 million copies sold 3 days. Now, it did draw criticism from those who believe that social responsibility should be an integral part of the game creation. Yeah. Social responsibility, as in game science wants to stay alive. Yeah. And they did follow social responsibility as it pertained to their culture. Trust me, an Asian does not care about a black male, female, white, Asian, transgender, woman, man, binary, whatever the hell they want, LGBTQ, XYZ, WX, they don't care about that crap. So they did abide by responsibility for their culture and their audience. They respected who and what they are, not who and what you want them to be with your colonial belief system. Now, there was a report that Sweet Baby Inc., you know, Sweet Baby Inc. reminds me of Jesse and Jackson and Al Sharpton in the 70s and 80s. They would go to corporations, y'all need to do this, this, and this. Well, no, we don't. Well, yeah, you do. Or I'm going to have a whole picketing of my fellow Rainbow Coalition protesters. All right. Who did I make the check out? You make the check out of $7 million to Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton Productions. They would get the money. It was pretty mafioso-like. This is not speculation. This is documented. You go to all these companies. That's what Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton would do. If you don't sit there and give our coalition, our nonprofits, this much money, we're going to have protests and we're going to lie about your product. They wouldn't use the term lie. They use some kind of legal term they could get away with. But in essence, that's what Sweet Baby Inc. kind of does. Well, I don't know if they kind of do that, to be in full honesty, but that's the end result. If you don't, then all hell is going to come down on you by the Western colonialistic gaming enterprise. And I say colonialism because that's a term the left uses in the United States of America having imposed their will on various countries. And I don't agree with that, but that's how it's always been since the dawn of civilization. And the irony is they're imposing their will on others. So this decision to go to tell Sweet Baby Inc. to bleep off became a focal point in discussions about cultural differences. That's why you had all the pushback. That's why you had Rebecca Valentine lying in her IGN article. And instead of apologizing, she doubled down and locked her account. Why? Because you didn't like the pushback. You know? And correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't media supposed to be about openness, transparency, and bringing the truth? Maybe IGN needs to send their reporters back to school. But then again, that's a waste of time because schools are teaching this leftist belief system. So Blacksmith Wukong has been praise for its impressive graphics and smooth gameplay. That's a given. It showcases advanced techniques like ray tracing and high fidelity character models. Whew, actually, my desktop is due for an upgrade. I'm gonna getting it upgraded as we speak, and yeah, I'm gonna get the lower end ray tracing. What's not lower end? It was high end 2 years ago. I'm just gonna buy a new card, but I'm gonna get the older model for the ray tracing and high fidelity character models that it'll be able to show on screen. And this is a debut title for Game Science. Debut title, and they're knocking it out of the park like they did. And the cultural authenticity, it received acclaim for a faithful representation of the Chinese mythology, specifically the Journey to the West story. And it also demonstrates when there's global appeal for a culturally specific narrative, when you execute it with high production values, the odds of it being a hit are better than going woke in DEI and then hoping people buy it. Take Alan Wake. Alan Wake 2 is struggling a little bit. It's struggling mostly because of the exclusivity. That was expected. It struggles. But some people said they weren't going to buy it, and they didn't buy it because they started to play around with the character's cultural ethnicity, changing it from white to black. People just don't like it. They get accustomed to a certain character. Then when it's changed for political reasons and they're told, "We changed it for political reasons, get over yourself," they don't. They get angry. Thomas Sowell, to me, this generation's greatest intellectual, who happens to have been a Marxist black from Harlem, who is now a libertarian slash conservative economics professor. When they ask him, "What changed your mind, Thomas?" "The facts." You know, he said it best. When you throw crap like this at people, try to force them to change. He goes, "Look how well that went for blacks. It eventually ended up with the 50s and 60s riots, marches. You can't force hate on somebody." And that's what they're trying to do here. And that's why a lot of these games are failing. A lot of these blockbuster movies are failing. You can't force ugly women who are 90 pounds into protagonist roles when we don't want that. We want that strong man, or in this case, strong monkey king. So the historical basis, it's loosely based on the real-life journey of Buddhist monk Zhuangzang from China to India in the 7th century CE. BC? No, 7th century CE. I don't know. They changed it. So it's one of four great classic novels of Chinese literature. It blends Chinese folk religion, mythology, Taoism, and Buddhism. So there's a lot of Chinese history in this game, a lot of allegorical meaning lessons told through the story. It represents an individual's path to enlightenment with characters and obstacles. It's that symbolize aspects of human nature and spiritual challenges. In essence, we look at them and we relate to them in their stories because we see aspects of us in there and how they overcome, how they get enlightened. You know, it's also satirical. You know, the Chinese are great for that. You know, and obviously, if you look at Netflix, Amazon, there's a lot of Asian movies that are thrown our way. I'm a huge Bollywood, which is from India, and Chinese and Japanese fan. I watch as much of those movies as I do American movies. One, those movies aren't woke. Two, they're what I want in a movie, actions. You know? Three, they're fun. Four, they're not woke. So this game did reach a peak of over 3 million players across platforms, again, with over 2 million on Steam. It became the most watched game on Chinese streaming platforms on its opening day. The game's success was seen as challenging perceptions of Chinese games globally. In essence, their games weren't being respected, and this was garnering them the respect they so craved, you know? And this will improve China's international image and culturalism. In fact, you're going to see more and more games. Look, if anything, it doesn't matter. People say Hollywood, it's TV, it's any industry. We're copycats. NFL, the West Coast offense. Bill Walsh brought in the West Coast offense. It got copied. When something is successful, it will be copied. So you're going to look at this formula. I hope the West copies it so we don't get woke games. Obviously, this challenges the traditional dominance of Western and Japanese games in the global market. And, you know, they're gonna, I don't know how much, I'm gonna have to look into that, how much this game costs. I would imagine it probably did not cost $100 million, $150 million like others. Small developer, tight budget, you know, it shows what you can do with hard work, perseverance, and talent. You know how we're lazy here in the West. You know, just buy it here, just buy it there. But next thing you know, it's $100 million budget. And then your game's only set for 50 million. You're like, what are we gonna, what are we gonna, what are we gonna do? You know, what are you gonna do? You're gonna fail. Like Assassin's Creed Shadows. Whoop. I expect that to be tank, to be a big colossal tank, just as Star Wars Outlaws is tanking. It's like they had 150,000 players on Steam. Turns out they gave thousands of keys away, supposedly, as the rumors go, you know, so people could go play it and still getting terrible reviews by the players. The woke developer or the woke gaming industry. Oh, we love it. Oh my God. It's the greatest thing since sliced bread. It's the greatest thing since Thelma Louise. Why aren't people buying it? Because you're racist. You are racist, people, because you're not buying my game. Oh, man. So, 10 million copies, 3 days, 4 days, depending on which report you see. It's still not on the Xbox. So it still has got to go on the Xbox. So you're gonna see more sales and more millions. You know, I haven't bought it yet. I don't buy new games. I rarely ever buy games. The only game I'm gonna buy is State of Decay 3 when it comes out. I used to buy John Madden. I had Sega Genesis, then I had the Xbox. I bought only one game, John Madden. Then I stopped buying that because, you know, I ran out of friends to play. You know, you get married, your life gets a little bit more enclosed. I tried playing online. Woo! Talk about races, both, yes, white and black. I just turned me off, so I don't play online. You know, then, you know, after that, just a few games here or there, and State of Decay has been the only one. And but this one I may buy just to support him. Support the Chinese communist government, William. I see who you are. No, support a small developer who would not succumb to the colonialistic ways of leftist propaganda. So the game is poised for continued strong game or strong sales. This international reception and sales performance is being watched closely. Again, we are a copycat world. Expect this formula to be copied by others. And there you have it, my friends. Black Myth Wukong sells 10 million copies. The Monkey King swings past Colonial Critics Banana Republic. Now you understand the title I gave it. You know, it overcame colonialistic beliefs from leftists that have literally turned Western nations into banana republics. Based off feelings over facts and law and order. So good for you, game science. Good for you for not bowing down to the hypocrisy of leftist colonialism, for standing strong, as you would say, strong. Guys get that joke. And that's also in reference to the misinterpretation of what they said. IGN. You are a disgrace. Kotaku, you've always been a disgrace. But IGN, you are the bigger disgrace because you refuse to come out and apologize. And the person who lied with that story she wrote locked her account. That's just hypocrisy. And she's playing the No, you're a shrew who lied. And deserve all the backlash. Anyway, I'm just getting going, but this podcast is over. Congratulations, Game Science, on your sales, on your success for doing a triple A game and for bucking the system. Do not forget, hit like, hit share, because this message has got to get out. We got to get this message out. Stand up to the man. As a Panamanian, that actually resonates with me after seeing two dictators, Noriega and Torrijos, Manuel Torrijos, and no, Omar Torrijos and Manuel Noriega, two dictators. Don't forget again, hit like, share this. You can find this podcast, others like it, my conservative podcast, who I do with a great panel, a couple of panel members, my points on the board, which I do with a couple of guys as well. That's a new format. And we talk politics and sports as well. We have a libertarian podcast. And we also have pure play podcast, meaning we have the buzzer beaters, just nothing but basketball, a couple of Latinos talking hoops. And then we got our Blind Side Blitz. And we're on the verge of bringing on board a baseball podcast from somebody who actually was in the majors in terms of covering in the front office. And with some luck, an ex-hockey player to talk some hockey. Who knows yet? But you can find this podcast and the ones I just described at grumleagemedia.com, as well as social media outlets such as Rumble, YouTube, Spotify, y Pandora, and Apple under the profile handle Grumblings Media. This is William Del Pilar. And until next time, my friends, this is the Red, White, and Rude, and I bid you adieu.